So I think it's important in 2022 that I give a brief refresher as to why we are starting a day later this year. Because if you're anything like me, you're forgetful. Now, if it's not dates, I'm pretty good with dates, but if it's not dates, I'm forgetful. And so this was a good refresher, not only for me, so I hope it's a refresher for you. And I'll unequivocally state that I am not a theologian. I don't have advanced theology degrees behind my name. But to quote the late Phil Darbison, I have my spiritual education. And I love that phrase. Endowed with God's Spirit, we are all students of the Bible. And that is what I am, a student of the Bible. Now, over the past 7 years, since 2015, we've all spent many hours looking at the nuts and the bolts of the Hebrew or the Jewish calendar, depending on how you want to refer to it. And yet it's easy to forget the most basic information. So today I'd like to discuss why we're starting a day later than the other branches of the churches of God. And you'll see that what we're doing adheres to Scripture. Now, as you all know, the Hebrew calendar is unreliable, and to paraphrase Mr. Frank Nelty, the Hebrew calendar is nothing more than a conversion chart, like Fahrenheit to Celsius. Without the Julian calendar, there is no Hebrew calendar. That is a factual statement. And that will put those who defend the Hebrew calendar on their heels. This statement cannot be disputed, because the Julian calendar didn't come into existence until 45 AD. So what are the scriptural requirements for the calendar? Do they exist? Can we turn in the Word of God and find the scriptural requirements for the calendar? Well, here effectively are the basic framework of the calendar. The day starts and ends at sunset. The week starts and ends at sunset on Saturday evening, at the end of the Sabbath. Number three, the month starts with the sunset after each new moon. And four, the Hebrew word for the word month is the same as the same word for new moon. And that Hebrew word, if you're interested, is Kodesh. Now, I hope I'm saying that correctly. I'll spell it C-H-O-D-E-S-H, Kodesh. And that's Strong's 2320 if you're of the bent to go look it up. Fact check me, by all means. Number five, the year starts in the spring, not in the middle of winter, as in the Roman calendar, which we know starts in January 1st, which is only a mere 11 days, 12 days, depending how you want to count it, after the winter solstice. And that's really all the information someone needs to establish a calendar that I believe is correct and acceptable before God. Number two, when is Rosh Hashanah? I always struggle to say that, Rosh Hashanah. I think you know what I mean. Now, the Jewish calendar works from the premise that Tishri 1, or what we call the day or the Feast of Trumpets, is the starting point of the year for the Jews. They believe that the first of Tishri is the head of the year, and we'll get into the head of the year, as the Hebrews pronounced Rosh Hashanah. However, that conflicts with the Word of God. Full stop. Period. That conflicts with the Word of God. The same Word of God that calls the first month of the year in the spring, actually, Rosh Hashanah. Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus 12, verses 1 and 2. Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And I'll read them from the King James Version. Verse 1 reads, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." Now, we're going to get into it a little bit later, but that's a poor translation. And you'll see why later on. The word beginning is Rosh, R-O-S-H, which is Strong's 7218. And it means the first and foremost, the head. Okay? In the verse, In this verse, and I'm going to quote Frank Nelty here, the construct usage of Rosh actually means head of. Abib is identified as the head of all the months in the year and as the first month of Hashanah, which means the year. The point is that Exodus 12:2 very pointedly identifies the month Abib as Rosh Hashanah, which means head of the year. Now it follows that why should we possibly not find then the present Jewish calendar in contempt of this when they say Tishri 1 is Rosh Hashanah? Now, for those who have been around the Church of God for a long time, we will say that the Church of God proclaims to follow Scripture. We'd all say that, correct? We've said that for years. However, this particular issue seems to be a blind spot in many of the churches of God. And to be clear, I am not criticizing them. They're all God's people, and they're our brethren. I'm not saying for one second that they're less than us. I am saying, however, that I am perplexed because I'm not sure why this is a difficult issue. The simple fact is there is no scripture in the Word of God where Tishri 1 is referred to as Rosh Hashanah. Not one. Search it Genesis to Revelation, backwards, forwards, upside down. Not a single scripture. Therefore, any calendar that dares to call any other day Rosh Hashanah is therefore in violation of scripture. Based on the clear instruction of what we just read in Exodus 12 verses 1 and 2, where the true Rosh Hashanah is the head of the year. Now, maybe in your studies, you remember coming across something called the Molad of Tishri. So what again? Let's refresh. What on earth is a Molad of Tishri? Well, this is where the deflectors will cite Romans chapter 3, verse 2 as their defense, where basically says the oracles of God have been committed to the Jews. Someone has yet to make a case that when the Apostle Paul wrote this verse, that he had the Hebrew calendar in mind. Remember, it didn't even exist yet, the Hebrew calendar. So the Molad of Tishri is first and foremost a calculation, a mathematical calculation. And once you understand the basics of the calculation, and we're not going to even get into it, I honestly am not sure how a person cannot be left shaking their head. The Molads of Tishri are nothing more than very rough approximations for the supposed new moon conjunctions. The Molad of Tishri is called an invisible conjunction. Molad means birth, and it refers to a time at which the new moon is, quote, born. An invisible conjunction means that it is a calculated guess that can be up to 15 to 17, almost 19 hours off the real new moon. So the Molad calculation also always assumes a 6 p.m. sunset time. It has to. Now, the Molads of the Jewish calendar claim to accurately calculate the new moon conjunctions to the nearest halak or halakim, depending on how you want to pronounce it or where you're reading it from. And that sounds like somebody's clearing the throat, I admit it. But what is a halak? It's a period of time equal to 3 1/3 seconds. Okay? So think about this. While this appeals to a sense of granularity, and you would think accuracy, the Molad calculation can fluctuate from being up to 15 hours later to the actual new moons to being almost 4 hours earlier than the new moons. In fact, in news 2014, the calculation of the Molad of Tishri was actually 7-minute difference from the real new moon. And that's as close as we've had it in, well, since we've been keeping it in 2015. That's the closest it's ever come to being accurate. So, is God happy with something that's sometimes accurate, sometimes not, sometimes it's early, sometimes it's late? I'll let you answer that question for yourself. And I want you to filter what I'm about to say next through the lens of about the calendar. Would God make this difficult? Okay, would God make it this difficult? Now again, the Molad of Tishri is based on the Julian calendar and traces back to the creation date of 3761 BC. The first flaw is that this is not an accurate date, as it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 plus years after the creation of Adam. The second flaw is that the Julian calendar, again, did not come into existence until 45 BC, so we're tracing back some 3,715 plus years fictitiously, right? It didn't exist. How can you calculate something based on a tool that did not exist? We're living it today. This is a side comment with all the computer modeling for climate change. It didn't exist. It's only a guess. But every ancient society used the new moons to calculate the months and the equinoxes and the solstices to determine the seasons. And I gave a message in 2018, and it was actually, I think it was Shane that gave me the, I forget the name of it, but it was this navigational device that was created in Egypt that predated even the Julian calendar. And it was almost dead accurate. They could put it on the wall in the house, and when it came through, the light would shine through it, very much the same as when Plunkett went to Ireland into the Bruna Boyne, where they had the light shines down the channel, and it's centered onto that rock on the winter solstice. And now there was an earthquake, and it shifted a little bit, but that's 5,000 years old, and that thing was dead accurate for how many centuries or millennia. Now, what's interesting, too, as well, and this is something I don't remember studying, but learning now, is the Molad of Tishri is calculated every single year by going back to 3761 BC as well. So it doesn't bank on anything previous. You always have to start from the very beginning of 3761 BC for this year. You'll have to do the same for next year, the year after, the year after. Now, say today was your birthday, September 17, 2022. Today is a Saturday on the Roman calendar. What day of the week will your birthday be in 2023, do you know? It'll be a Sunday. It'll shift by one day. And it will be a Sunday next year. In 2024, it sounds like it'll be a Monday, but there's one wrinkle in 2024. It's a leap year. So it shifts one more day. But the point is as soon as you're inside the leap year cycle, your birthday will be Saturday this year, Sunday, Monday, until it hits the leap year, and then it shifts one day. But then it's, again, for the next 4 years, it'd be Wednesday, a Thursday, a Friday, Saturday, then it shifts. Not the Julian calendar or the calculation for the Molad Tishri. You always have to start at the very same starting point. The point I'm making is you don't have to go back to the day of the week of the year you were born to determine the week for the current year. So do you even know the day of the week of the year you were born? Nobody does, right? This is effectively what the Hebrew calendar is doing. It relies on the Jewish calendar calculations, erroneously assuming that every lunar month, all the way back to 3761 BC, always has been the exact same length as every other lunar month. And we know that's not true. We know that's not true. Okay, so now point number four, counting backwards 177 days from Tishri. This was an interesting year because the holy days lined up for Passover, the days of unleavened bread, and Pentecost, but not for the fall holy days. And maybe you're wondering why. And I popped out the calendar and I physically counted backwards from the sunset on the 25th of September. So the churches of God will start at the end of the September 25th. So the start of the 26th, and that will be their Feast of Trumpets. They're a day early. And I counted physically back all the way to April 2nd, which was deemed the first day of the sacred year for them and for us. And guess what? It's 177 days. Exactly. The Molad calculation agreed with the real new moon for the start of the new year. However, due to the counting backwards, right? It sounds like things worked out, but this is not the case because what happens is the Molad of Tishri violates the real new moon on Tishri 1. So for those who maybe you haven't looked or you're not paying attention to it yet, the new moon will begin September 26th at 11:54 a.m. So the new moon in what is our month of September, sunset at the 25th, beginning of the 26th. So sunset of the 25th occurs at 6:32 p.m. Hope I'm not confusing. Okay, 6:32 p.m. on the 25th. So that begins the end of the 25th, sunset 6:32. The Hebrew calendar starts the Day of Trumpets at the end of this sunset on the 25th, the beginning of the 26th. What makes this problematic? Again, the new moon occurs on the 26th of September at 11:54 a.m., 17 hours and 22 minutes after sunset. And since each day begins and ends with sunset, as we've covered already, that's part of the how to determine the calendar. The point I'm making is you never start a day within a day. So this is why we would wait, or why we are waiting, until the sunset of the 26th to end, which happens at 6:30 p.m. as Jerusalem time as well. The times I'm quoting to you are Jerusalem times. And therefore, Trumpets Correctly begins at the end of the 26th and the start of the 27th of September. Now, most churches of God are starting the Feast of Trumpets a day early. Logically, then, by treating the new moon event that occurs, again, 17 hours and 22 minutes after sunset as the holy day, is being, in my opinion, dishonest with the scriptures. Because they know the day begins and ends with sunset. They're not going to disagree with you on that. What this amounts to, then, that they are, in fact, not keeping the Day of Trumpets at all. A strong statement. I understand, but true nonetheless. Ironically, you could pull 1,000 Church of God members. You could probably pull 10,000, whatever number, and ask them about this very thing I just mentioned. And almost all of them would not have a clue. Again, I'm not criticizing them. We were in the exact same place a number of years ago. They will trust what they're told either from the pulpit, or they'll rely on their little holy day card. We all used to have one, right? Keeping your wallet. This is what happens when we rely on something other than the Bible to come up with the calculation and not the actual heavenly bodies that God has put in place. When we rely on God's creation and not man, I firmly believe we will not go wrong. And I've not even mentioned the postponement rules. And they're another aspect of the Hebrew calendar. And I'll read them to you because I have one of the things I want to show you. And it's what I handed you, and I'll explain it. And for those online, I will share it here in just a moment or two. But let me read what the four postponement rules are. And when I asked a minister directly about what I'm about to read to you, they don't have an answer. They look, and I'm talking 40 years ordained elder, been on the doctrinal committee. Fancy, been in the upper echelons, the Gamaliels of the churches of God. Okay, I'm not being sarcastic. I'm saying these are the learned men. And when you sit across the table and you ask them face to face and you tell them that the Hebrew calendar is indefensible, he chuckled at me. And he did it because he knew I was right. Now, that's my opinion. Maybe you dispute that. But let's read what they say. There's four and they're called, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, dahayats, postponements. So when I say day one, day four, day six, for anyone who may not be familiar, we are talking the days of the week. So day one, Sunday, day two, day three, day four, day seven is the Sabbath, day six is Friday, day four is Wednesday. So just as that is the background so you understand. If the Molad of Tishri falls on day one, four, or six, then Tishri one is postponed one day. This postponement is often referred to as A-D-U or V-Vav. It's an acronym formed from the Hebrew letters Aleph, one for Sunday, Daled, four for Wednesday, and Vav or U, six for Friday. That's number one. If the Tishri of Molad, and again, I want to get deep into it because John wants to speak and give a sermon. I don't want to take too much more time. If the Molad of Tishri occurs after 18 hours equals noon, then Tishri 1 is postponed one day. If this causes Tishri 1 to fall on day 1, 4, or 6, then Tishri is postponed an additional day to satisfy postponement rule number 1. Postponement rule number 3 says if the Molad of Tishri of any ordinary year of 12 months falls on day 3 or after 9 hours and 204 halakim, then Tishrei 1 is postponed 2 days to day 5, therefore satisfying day 1. So they always have to be bouncing off each other and not violating themselves. And then the last one, if the first molad falling on a leap year falls on day 2 or after 15 hours and 589 halakim, then Tishrei 1 is postponed 1 day to day 3. So, and then there's even rules to that, which we're not going to get into. So I do have a visual postponement chart, and I'll share it now. It should be seen online. Okay, so you can look at this, and you can see the boxes that I have that are boxed, right? The thick outline boxes. That's A. The second one is D, the third one is U. So that's the ADU. Now, I've tried to color code it a bit, but again, I'm a visual learner, so I like to see things that make sense visually. So you can see on the top one, I'll just refer to it here. We're looking at the same thing. Sunday is the first, it's blue. Okay, what you don't see there is that would be the Feast of Trumpets. What you don't see is the day before, which would be the 30th day of the last month. That's a Sabbath. So that's a double holy day. Okay? Then you move over to where it's orange, Saturday and Sunday, 14th and 15th. That's the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, thus a double holy day because of the Sabbath. And then the last day, which is the 21st, the seventh day of the feast, and 22, which would be the last great day, that would be another Sabbath. So in the Aleph here, you'd have 3 double Sabbaths. No, in the Hebrew calendar. Move to the middle, Wednesday. Wednesday then becomes the first, which is a high holy day, would be the first day of Tishrei or Feast of Trumpets. Then you move to the 10th and the 11th, and that just happens to be atonement. Friday would be the 10th, that would be an atonement. And the 11th would be a Sabbath. Nowhere in the Hebrew calendar are you allowed to have a double Sabbath for atonement. And then you shoot all the way to the very end to show you that that's the only double Sabbath on the Wednesday. So then you don't have to postpone a day. And then if you go to the last one, that's double bolded, Friday is the first. What I don't show you, because they go dot dot to the 9, is the second would be a Sabbath, so that's a double Sabbath. Then you get to the 9th and the 10th. So the 9th would be a Sabbath, the 10th would be atonement, that's another double Sabbath. Then you get to the 15th, which is the first day of unleavened bread. You follow me, Denise? Okay. The 15th and the 16th would be yet another double Sabbath. And then the last row, the 21st and the 22nd of Friday, the Friday the 22nd would then also lead to a double Sabbath on the 23rd. That, we did that in 2020. That was the first year we had 4 double Sabbaths that we lived through. And that wasn't easy, I admit. The Jews will never do it. Okay. So now let's go to the last thing I want to talk about. The word for moon. In the Northern Hemisphere, we know that the year begins in the spring. And for the Gregorian calendar, which is the evolution of the Julian calendar, the spring equinox is either March 21st, March 20th, or March 21st. And I confirmed this on timeanddate.com if you want to go fact check me. For the years 2000 to 2049, a 50-year period, the equinox is either on the 20th or the 21st of March, without fail. Even if the new moon was the day following the spring equinox, the simple math of adding 14 days for Passover and then the additional day to start the Feast of Unleavened Bread, it would never, ever math. It's never mathematically possible to put the keeping of Passover and any part of the days of unleavened bread in the month of March. Okay? It's not mathematically possible. However, because the Church of God has kept Passover in the first day numerous times in March, and in fact, 3 times in the past 10 years. In 2013, Passover was on March 25th. First day of unleavened bread was March 26th. 2018, Passover was March 30th. First day of unleavened bread was March 31st. And last year, in 2021, Passover was on March 27th, and the first day of unleavened bread was March 28th. To arrive at these times requires that the first day of the sacred year begins in the winter. Now, just to show you the 2013 dates, which I will share on the screen. I didn't give you guys this as a handout. And same with, that's not the right distance. Can everyone see that okay? The top line is 2013. Okay. Is that clear? Can you visualize that? Yeah, hopefully online they can see it as well. That's the only dates I'm going to refer to, although what I'm going to say is, and you can see right for yourself what I just said to you, 2018 and 2021 as well. You can see those dates when Passover and them started in March. Okay. Passover was March 25th in 2013. You can see that in the top row. Take away 14 days, and that makes the first day of the sacred year, or Abib, March 12th, 2013. This is 8 days before the spring equinox, and that puts the first day of the sacred year in the month of Adar, which is called the 12th month. That's the Hebrew name for it, Adar. Then starting in Abib. To bring this up today in our Roman months, for comparison, let's say to you, okay, this year, instead of the first of the year being January 1st, we're going to back it up to December 24th, and that's the first for December 2023. We're going to change the rules mid-game. What would you think? I think I'm crazy. Now I'm going to circle back, and that's part pun, because we're talking about the moon. The part of a Jen Psaki reference, if you know the previous press secretary of the Biden administration, that used to be your fancy phrase, circle back. We're going to read Exodus 12, 2 again. And again, Kodesh is derived from a Hebrew verb called Kadesh, C-H-A-D-A-S-H. The verb Kadesh means to renew or to repair. But we can confidently and accurately arrive at the primary meaning of the noun Kodesh, then, is the new moon, or a moon which has been renewed or repaired. By extension, this word also means a month, in as far as every month was to start with a new moon. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. In the Bible, in Hebrew specifically, do you know how many words there are used for moon? Four. I'm going to attempt to pronounce them. Yarech, Y-A-R-E-A-C-H. You can find that in Genesis 37, verse 9. It means moon. Yerach, Y-E-R, A-C-H, Exodus 2:2, same root as the one we just read, Yarech, whatever, I'm not saying it right, month. And Kadesh, which we just mentioned, was the verb form. It's in 1 Samuel 11:14, and it means to renew. And lastly, Exodus 12:2, Kodesh, and it means first and foremost new moon, and then by extension it also means month. Kodesh appears 276 times in Scripture. Now this is what we're going to do. We're going to read Exodus 12:2 with the Hebrew root Kodesh in its proper locations. So it reads, Exodus 12:2, this Kodesh shall be unto you the beginning of Kodeshes, and it shall be the first Kodesh of the year to you. By doing that, it makes it clear that the word Kodesh, that God was pinpointing a specific time that Moses and Aaron and the Israelites would have clearly understood. God was presenting this Kodesh as a demarcation point to begin things for the year. And again, I'm going to quote Frank Melty again. God has very clearly had a clear season in the annual solar cycle in mind, without which it is impossible to pinpoint any specific Kodesh in the year. Reference to the four seasons is the only way we have to pinpoint specific new moons in the year. The fact that in Exodus 12:2, God was identifying a specific new moon within which the year is to start. In this scripture, God was not focusing on a specific month, but on a specific day. Had God simply intended to refer to a month in general terms, then Moses would have used the word Yerach, Y-E-R-A-C-H, as he had done exactly 10 chapters earlier in Exodus 2:2. So, end of quote. So then Exodus 12:2, the intended meaning of Kodesh has to be new moon or new moon day. So let's wrap this up. We are a day late for solid scriptural reasons. The Hebrew calendar is not 100% of God, and for anyone in the church of God to uphold it and its value is not being honest with the scriptures. because it cannot be found within the scriptures. And from, again, from Romans 3:2, it's not a justification for the Hebrew calendar, and to assume Paul had that in mind, that's a bridge too far. I hope the review was helpful, and if I've confused you in any way, please pull me aside after, and I'll do my best to clarify anything I've said. So don't be afraid to be bold in the scriptures. God has given you his spirit, and he expects you to use it. Let's be about our Father's business. Have a wonderful fall.